Yeah, my name's Ken Leslie. I'm one of the pastors here. Love it. I work with the students, and so I told them over Instagram and Discord, this is where the students hang out. I said, sit down front, make me feel at home, and they did, so I love it. Yeah. Normally we teach. I'm on the floor down there, and we have a student ministry on Wednesday night, and we have a good time of teaching in small groups and stuff, so it's a lot of fun. And, you know, Amanda stole my thunder. I was going to say, I was standing behind that wall and just hearing you guys. I could still hear you guys singing. It was awesome. To stand there and just listen to you guys declare God's truth as a church. You know, this week has been unique with snow days and stuff, but also Pastor Randy, who is not here right now. He was here in the first service, but he has jetted away because tonight is his son's wedding. John Ream is getting married to Hannah Lanuza. Isn't that awesome? And they're excited about that. And so, yeah. And it's great. You know, here's two people. They met here at church in the youth group, and they love Jesus, and they're getting married together. I'm super excited for their wedding tonight. Chris Bordeaux, if you follow on Instagram or you see on Facebook or at all, and instead of enjoying the beautiful weather we had all week here, he was in shorts and sunglasses on sunny Mexico, enjoying the sun rays there, getting a little bit of R&R, celebrating his wife's birthday. We won't talk about that probably. I didn't ask Leah's permission to mention that, but they were having a good little vacation, and so you guys get the third string. Me today. So I hope I don't screw this up. That's my plan. but I'm glad to be with you guys this morning. Hey, it's a little out of order, but normally we talk about the offering time at the end, but I wanted to mention that at any time we do have our time of offering, we just sang praises to God, and that's an offering of praise. We praise and we offer God our attention through the word, and we also offer God through how he's called us to do that. And you can give online at my.stonycreek.church anytime. We have that little wooden box in the back that as you exit this afternoon, feel free to give in a sense of offering that way. We had our baby bottle drive where we were collecting money for Crossroads Care Center, and in the first service, we had two empty bottles that hadn't been filled yet. I don't know if they got filled at all. I made the challenge. I said, you guys go fill it today. It'd be awesome to do that. You can also give to Crossroads at my.stonycreek.church. That is, today's the deadline. Today's when we're calling that the end for that time. So if you haven't given to that and you left your bottle at home, you can feel free to give to that. But today we're going to start a new message series for the month of February. We're taking a break from our current bodybuilding teaching series through the book of Ephesians. We're going to take a break from that. We've been getting started on that. Randy's been preaching on that. But for this entire month of February, we'll get back to this in March, but in February, we're going to do a series of our discipleship process as followers of Christ in a series called More and Better. This is our chance as a church to understand how we are called to make more and better followers of Jesus and to understand the process that it takes to do that. You know, you can't just slap that phrase on a mug or put it on the glass as you enter the door or print it on the program every week and expect to say, check, we did it. We made more and better followers of Jesus. What's next? We need to talk about what it takes and what this process looks like. You know, even Paul in Philippians chapter 3, it'll be on the screen here when we come to yellow print. You guys can read along with me. But Philippians chapter 3, I love the way Paul says this. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. Help me out. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, this is a great reminder that we must continually be pressing on, having this forward motion in our spiritual growth process. You might say, okay, we're talking about this phrase I hear all the time, more and better. I know the four C's, Ken. I've got this. We're all good. But we can take our cue from Paul, the apostle, who wrote like half the New Testament or more, it seems, and was like super duper Christian, that he says, even in this moment, nearing the end of his life, that no, I need to press on. I need to keep moving forward in my spiritual growth. I need to be reminded how to focus on what God has called us to do. So if Paul needs it, I know that I need it as well, to be reminded of the process of growth in Jesus. Because here's the thing, you can't just come to church once in a while or even every week and just show up and expect to become a mature follower of Jesus. In fact, the odds are, if the only thing you do is to show up to church, the odds are that you'll eventually drift away. Something will compete with your time, and something will come in, and you'll get out of the routine and out of the habit. You know, I've talked with people many times who find out that I'm a pastor, my neighbors, or just people casually conversation. Or I've even talked to people who show up here for the very first time, and I've heard the same sentiment. I used to go to church, but then things got busy. I hear that phrase all the time. Things got busy. I get it. Things get in the way. But pretty soon, those same people look back and they say, man, where's the time gone? It's been years since I've even been part of a church. And so if we don't focus on the process that God gives us through Scripture, we're going to be not a firm foundation, we're going to be on a crumbling foundation. If our foundation as a follower of Jesus is just showing up to church, it's going to fail. It's not going to stand the test of time. Following Jesus takes persistence and determination. It takes making steps to make sure that you're on this process of spiritual growth together. So we've developed here at Stony a spiritual growth process that's maybe easy to understand and to capture. It's the four C's. You probably know it. You see it every time you walk into church. Come, connect, commit, and coach. And you see these four C's every Sunday, hopefully. They kind of resonate in you. This is our steps through our growth process. But let me remind you, this isn't actually our mission. This isn't, when I've asked people, I said, can you give me the mission of the church? A little pop quiz. And a lot of times people say, oh yeah, come, connect, commit, coach. That's good. It's not exactly our mission as it's stated. Our mission instead is this, to make more and better followers of Jesus in our community and beyond so that God is glorified. In fact, if you have one of those programs, those things that you received when you came in, you can flip it to the back. You can see that is printed right on the back of the program. Every week you hear us say that phrase, more and better. It's in the video before the service even begins every single week. But you can also see that those little three dots are separated by our process. This is how we accomplish the mission that God has called us to, our process, to come to Christ, to connect with Christian living, to commit to the church, and to coach other Christians. This is how we've, many months of praying and spending time in this over years ago, this is what we feel God has called us to help believers on process of growing to become more and better followers of Jesus. Today we're going to focus on the first one of those, come to Christ. Before I move into that, though, would you allow me to pray for us this morning that God opens our minds and our hearts to His Word. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for this time to declare of Your awesomeness through singing, through this time of worship as we learn and we give our attention to You. And God, I pray that even as we move forward in this message this morning, You make clear Your gospel, Your good news to each of us. and also make clear our response. Spirit, I pray that you tug on our hearts to respond to your message this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen. I'll admit, when I see this word come, especially when I walk in the doors every Sunday, I walk in the doors quite often, a lot more than that. But when I see it and I see come, I often think that that's the first step is to come to church. Come and be a part of this awesome thing that we experience together. Come and be part of our gathering. Come to our events. Come to youth group on Wednesday night. Come to the praise nights that we have. Come to MOPS on Tuesdays. Come to the things that we want you to be part of. Come and be part of this experience. But we can't say that our mission is to fill every seat in this room. You know, there's a few seats available, nice big pocket of seats right here that you guys can bring people to fill next week. But that's not our mission. Our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus. And that's why this first step isn't come to church, it's come to Christ. And so let me define what that means for each of us. Very simply, it's to respond to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We would call this our most urgent message. And so instead of a main idea today, this might be controversial, but I'm going to give you the main idea that trumps all main ideas. The epitome of main ideas is our most urgent message. And it's this. It's long, so we're going to throw it on the screen. You're going to take like 10 minutes to write it down. But it's this. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And he arose again, proving that he is Lord and that he beat death for all who trust in him. Let me read that again. Again, it's long, especially for those listening to the podcast. You can capture this. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And he arose again, proving that he is Lord, and that he beat death for all who trust in him. My prayer is that you look at this and you say, amen, I believe that. That is the truth of the gospel. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, I have a question or two about a line here or there. We would love to expand on that and talk about that. In fact, I'm going to expand on this most urgent message here in just kind of the next little bit that we have. I'm going to give you four lines of the message of the gospel. And this is kind of unpacking that most urgent message. Four simple things. Letter A, we were created for a relationship with God. We're created for this relationship with God. God's not just some far-off deity that created life and then stepped away and said, go and do your thing. Or God isn't just out there distant. God created each of us. He designed us. It even says in Genesis chapter 1, all the way at the beginning of the Bible, that we were created in his image and blessed to be in a relationship with him and with each other. God created us for this perfect relationship. That's awesome. But there's bad news, and that's the letter B. Letter B is that the relationship is broken. That relationship that he designed us for, created us for, is broken. We can't have that perfect relationship with God. Why? Because of sin. Sin has created a boundary between us and God. We read in Romans chapter 3 that each of us are sinners, that we all struggle with this idea of sin. I can tell you from my own personal example, I am a sinner. I understand that. I fall short of God's perfect standard. My sin prevents me from having a good and perfect relationship with God. But there's good news. Let her see. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the only way that will restore that relationship with God through his sacrifice on the cross. It was out of his love that God sent his son Jesus to die for us, to pay that penalty of sin. Romans 5:8 tells us that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came because he wanted to fix that broken relationship. Jesus is that only solution, the only way to do that. But we still have letter D, is that we must respond when he calls. God gives us the option. He gives us the choice. Either we could live in that broken relationship, we're going to live for ourselves, we're going to do whatever we want, do whatever feels good, make lots of money and die and just send it all. You know, we can do whatever we want with our life. God gives us that choice. Or he says we can respond to what he's done for us and move over from death to life. Romans chapter 10 says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and we confess that Jesus is Lord, what that means is saying, yes, I believe that Jesus has paid this penalty, but I'm going to pledge my allegiance to King Jesus. I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I don't just say, yep, that's good information. I actually declare it. I say yes. I make the decision to respond to him when he calls. That's it. This is the message of the gospel. This is our most urgent message. This is the most important thing I could even communicate to you today. If you forget everything else, to understand and to know the gospel, this is what we need to internalize, to know in our heart, to be able to share, to communicate with anybody who possibly doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. We need to be ready to share that we were created for that relationship. We've broken that relationship. Jesus is our solution, and we can respond by receiving him as our Lord, our King. But check out that last phrase, when he calls. That's what we're going to kind of expand on a little bit today. The question might arise, what are we called to? What are we called to? These are on your outline. Number one, the first thing we're called to is to come to repentance. To come to repentance. We've already acknowledged that we are all sinners. We all have a sin problem. We don't match God's standard of perfection. But in order to respond to God's call, it means more than just declaring, I'm a sinner. It takes turning away from our sin and towards God's grace. He offers it freely to us, but we need to turn away from the sin that's in our life and move towards God's forgiveness and grace. His heart burns for each of us to have this relationship with us. God desperately longs for this for his people. He wants us to know him deeply, to love him. And all of this starts with repentance. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, again, we'll have some yellow print. You can help me out. It says this, God our Savior wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I want you to do me a favor this morning. On your outline, maybe in your Bible, if you've got your Bible there, circle that word come. Give it a little circle. Just identify that as in there. But it's saying that God wants us to come to this knowledge of the truth. But you might ask, well, what is that? How do we do that? I'm glad you asked, because we get some more insight if we, in our Bibles, flip a couple pages or on your outline, the next line. 2 Timothy chapter 2 gives us a little bit more insight. Opponents must gently be instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. That same phrase there, knowledge of the truth. But did you catch what leads us there? What brings us there? It's repentance. Repentance is what leads us to that knowledge. Now, we could say that phrase right there, knowledge of the truth, and that sounds like I read my history book, I read the Bible, I know the facts, I know the information, good, all right, I have the knowledge of the truth. We might try to kind of construe it that way, but that phrase is actually better translated, maybe in your different translation of the Bible, you see something a little different there. It's better translated as to acknowledge the truth. Sounds similar, slightly different, to acknowledge the truth. Basically, what this says is to acknowledge the truth involves understanding the gospel so that we might experience genuine commitment to Christ. This isn't just about words and facts. It's about actually saying, this is the truth. Jesus is the truth. I acknowledge that Christ died for me. I am coming to him in repentance. Now, I understand repentance in my own life when it comes to kind of the sins that I struggle with. I go to God every morning. I pray, Jesus, help me to come better to you. Help me to be more focused on you. I repent of the sins that I struggle with because I have that relationship, and he nudges me to be in repentance with him. I pray that you're in the same boat, that you understand and feel that repentance. But honestly, this is one of my faults, is that one of my faults, there's probably plenty, but one of them is that I struggle with the understanding and the real faith to see that people who are far from God would repent of that and turn to the truth of the gospel. That's a problem I have. You can pray for me on that. Just to really have faith. I trust it, I believe it, but have faith is a little bit more difficult for me. You know, as many of you guys know, we've been doing this Reach for the Streets effort over the last year, gone out to our neighborhoods, knocked on doors, had conversations, passed out flyers that literally say that we would love to just bless you and help you out in any way. We've had people contact us and say, yes, I need my ceiling fan needs to be fixed, or I'd love to go get some groceries and we'll help them out and go take in. Many of you guys in this room this morning are just on fire and are serving our community in this way. But sometimes I wonder, are the people that we're talking to going to experience this repentance moment through these things? I pray for that. And so my prayer has kind of shifted a little bit personally to pray that those who receive a flyer, a knock on the door, a conversation, that they will come to repentance and trust in Jesus as their Savior. I want to ask you, if you haven't participated in the Reach for the Streets, would you join me in also just praying that God will go ahead of us to draw people and call them to repentance? I have firm belief that God is longing for us to come together as a church. You could sign up to be part of the prayer team that does that and make it official at my.stonycreek.church. There's a little place you can register to be part of the prayer efforts for Reach for the Streets. But be praying for people that God would call them to true repentance. Or maybe personally, if you think about this, maybe there's a person in your life. Maybe you were that person who is defiant against God altogether. Can a person who has outright declared their atheism against God actually have an about face and turn to Jesus? Of course, yes, of course they can. We've got examples of this all throughout the scripture, perhaps even in your life, somebody who has said, nope, I don't want to hear it. We think of Zacchaeus in the New Testament, who was living his life, getting as rich as he can be, just doing his thing, and Jesus comes in and he changes completely to surrender to Jesus. Maybe there's a person in your life that you've seen this happen to. Maybe that was you at some point. You were saying no to God, and now you turn in repentance to God. And perhaps there's somebody in your life right now, in your family, in your friends, that's got their fingers in their ears saying, I don't want to hear it. I want to challenge you today to be praying for them personally by name, to come to repentance, to come to that knowledge of the truth and to acknowledge God's truth, his gospel. And then take it one step further, to be bold enough to actually bring that into the conversation and have that conversation. I've laid out the message of the gospel. Just share that with them. Ask God to bring that into the conversation that you could have. God doesn't just leave us at repentance. He continues to call us to even more. And so number two, God calls us to come to restoration. Come to restoration. He wants to restore that broken relationship that we have with him. He wants to bring us back to life. Once we were separated from God, destined for eternal separation from him, and he wants to restore us to life, destined for an eternal peace with him in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help me. No one can come to the Father except through me." Notice there's that word come again. Give it a little circle on your outline. Identify that in your Bible or in your outline there. But Jesus says that no one can, you can't do it through a ton of ways. Jesus says, "I want to give you truth. I want to give you life. I want to restore you to that real, true life." Jesus is the only solution that brings us that restoration. John chapter 6, a few chapters earlier, Jesus says, "For no one," just like he said in chapter 14, "no one can come to me," we'll pause, circle that word come right there, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up." What he's saying is, I will restore them to life. When I draw people to me, I will restore them and give them that eternal life. In my house, we have this coffee table, and it's in our living room, right when you walk in. It's one of the first things that you would see in my house, and it's kind of a centerpiece right now. But I remember the day when my wife, Jamie, brought it home from a garage sale, and it smelled funny. It was scratched all over the place, a little bit broken. It had that ugly, like, fake wood color that didn't even look real. And I was like, "Jamie, what are you doing bringing this trash into our house? This is gross. I don't want that." We have a little bit of a different style of decoration. And so I was like, "I don't see it. I don't see what you're going to do." But she took that broken, gross, smelly coffee table in our garage and spent time sanding it down, lots of time sanding it down, fixing it, repairing parts of the coffee table. And she bought special furniture paint to paint it and some new knobs for it. And now it's this beautiful centerpiece in our living room. Didn't she do a good job? I think it's beautiful. Yeah, good job, Jamie. But what's even cooler is that I wish I could have, like, made a little animation. I probably should have done that. But if you open up this drawer here, inside that drawer is where we keep our wedding album from when we were married just over 20 years ago. Our memories, our precious memories we keep inside of this coffee table. And during the COVID lockdown, when things first started and we didn't leave the house for months, it was a great place for our family, the four of us, to sit around and to build puzzles, to make puzzles together and create memories. What was broken and smelly and ugly, Jamie brought back to life. And just like that table, God wants to bring us back to life. To move us from our once we were dead to now we have life with Christ. He calls us to it, to restoration. But wait, there's more. Number three, Jesus calls us, God calls us to come to revival. Come to revival. That's right. God wants to revive us. This kind of sounds similar to restoration, but it's a little bit deeper than that. Revival goes and changes us from the inside to fill us with life, to quench our continual thirst. Jesus is the wellspring of life. Check out Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. This is right near the end of the Bible. It's kind of the culmination. It says this, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." You know what to do. Circle that word, come. It's really kind of identified here. Jesus, or the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. You can circle that too. Help me out. Let anyone who is thirsty come. You can circle that word too. Come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. It's hard to talk about water and not take a drink. I love this imagery here that God is beckoning, calling everyone who is thirsty to just come and drink deep from the eternal wells of life that he offers. Back in 2020, that summer, we had been in lockdown, as you all had, and hadn't left our house too much, but it was the summer. We could get outside. We could start, you know, experiencing some fresh air. It was a great hot summer. And in that summer, by the end of June, I had this plan to ride my bicycle from the whole Macomb Orchard Trail. I was going to go from the church here, Rochester, it goes to Romeo, and then from Romeo to Armada, from Armada to Richmond. That's 28 miles. And I was going to go back, turn around and go back. And so I prepared for this trip a little bit. I packed myself two bottles of water. You can see them here. There's one bottle right here, one bottle right there on my bicycle. But then I also brought a jug of water. It was just ice, a jug of ice to leave in my car. And so I left this jug of ice in my car, and I brought my water bottles, and I got on my bike. I've done this before. I've done it many times. It's not as hard as you guys think. It's difficult, but it's not as hard as you probably think. But it takes a few hours, and you're exerting a lot of energy, and I trucked my way through and drinking the bottles of water, you know, riding my bike, pulling down, drinking the water, putting it back, having a great time. Because then you get to the end in Richmond. You can see here I am arriving in Richmond. There's this great little gazebo in the back right there. And there's a bathroom, and there's water fountains there. And so it's kind of like the halfway point for me. I've gone there, now I'm going to come back. 28 miles, I got there. And I got there, I approached Richmond and this gazebo, and there was this giant black bag over the water fountain. It said, do not drink, because apparently you'll get COVID if you do. It was trying to prevent, you know, spread of sickness. I get it. But I had drank all my water getting to Richmond. And so I had nothing. I was bone dry in my water bottles. My only option was to turn around and ride all the way back. 28 miles. That's, what is that, like 56 miles total of a trip. No water at all on the way back. I was dead tired. I was just beat up completely. I was dizzy even. The last couple miles, just to get your legs like moving is so hard. You have to like convince yourself to keep moving. Otherwise, you just roll to a stop. Do you guys know how good that water that was in my car was when I showed up back? That ice had melted. It was like the rivers of life were living in my car, and I got to just drink it. I wasn't even sweating. I was so dehydrated from I had no water. But I was revived by that water at the end of my ropes. I'd made myself sick. But I was revived and restored through that wonderful water. Jesus offers that same revival for our souls. Notice here in the scripture that we just read, it said the Spirit and the bride say come. The bride is part of this beckoning to call. And what is the bride? The bride is us, Christ's church. That we are together joining God on this call to all who are needing revival. It's our responsibility, not just God, to call and to draw people to himself. It's our responsibility to take this call and say, come. And so I want to ask you, leave you with a couple questions today that maybe you can ponder over the next few days. The first question is this: how are you personally calling others to follow Jesus? It's our responsibility. We can't just simply just expect people to just show up into our lives without us taking some personal responsibility. It can start with praying for opportunities. Maybe you don't have people in your life that you even know you could share the gospel with. Just pray for God to send those people into your life. Maybe it's praying for boldness. Perhaps it's praying for that actual opportunity to share the gospel with a specific person. Perhaps it's taking that boldness and actually communicating with that person what Jesus has done for them. But consider, how am I personally part of this? And number two, how are we accomplishing this as a church? It said as that we are the bride calling out to say, come. I can tell you that, just like I mentioned earlier, we've got this Reach for the Streets efforts ongoing. And in this winter time, we've taken kind of a pivot. It's really interesting and really cool that we're doing this. We've reached out, and we are continuing to reach out. First, we're starting in prayer, and then we're going to start asking people who are in the businesses here in Utica. We've identified over 40 businesses to connect with and to invite to a luncheon here. Free, everything's free for them. Just come here in the end of March. And we want to see how we can partner together to bring hope to this community. And you better believe it, we're going to share that our message of hope is through Jesus Christ. And that's what we feel called to do. And we want to share the gospel with the business owners here in Utica and see God's message and God's revival spread just beyond our walls here. I'm excited for what's this opportunity that's going to happen. And these aren't just 40 random businesses. These are the businesses that have connected with us through things like the Meet the Bunny event that we had last spring, or our Blessing Box that's out on Van Dyke Road right now, or a lot of them, all of them actually, have partnered in our Trunk or Treat events every Halloween. And we've established a great relationship with all of these businesses already. And so I'm excited for them to take the opportunity. We've got a fancy invitation we're designing with some incentives, but it takes praying ahead of time that their schedule is free, that they hear this invitation, and that they just come to hear how we can partner together. Perhaps you could pray for that even in these next few weeks leading up to our invitation to them. Before we wrap up, though, I want to point out a couple unique things here. I had you circle the word come every time we came to it in the scripture, right? And so there should be, if you count them up, 6 times the word come has appeared in these verses so far. Here's what's interesting. This word come here is from the Greek word erkomai. Erkomai. It's a verb that simply indicates movement from one place to another. This doesn't sound life-altering or, you know, earth-shattering yet. But this movement that we are being called to come to is to move from being separated from God to being moved to being connected with God. The way this verb would be used would be like God saying, come here. Come here. We move from darkness. God says, come here. We moved to light. We were destined for death. God says, come here. And now we're destined for eternity with God in heaven. It's this movement that we get to follow God in. Now, each of these instances that we've looked at are making this beckon, this call. This verb is at once both a mandate and an invitation. God gives us the invitation to respond to him and to come to him. My prayer is that you've made that decision in your life at some point. I know when I was 5 years old, I decided to come to Jesus. And I crossed over from death to life. Perhaps today God is beckoning you to come to him. Establish that relationship with him. It's not just about knowing the facts, but it's about making that response and saying yes. A little later, we'll have our prayer team down front, and they would love to pray with you to share and to talk about how you can know for sure that you have that relationship with him. But there's one more verse on your outline here that gives us the call to come. It comes out of Matthew chapter 11. says, Jesus said, come to me. Now, don't circle it, underline that word come. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Help me. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is a slightly different word here, a calling from Jesus. This word here, come, is from the Greek word doute. I made the joke that it is my duty to tell you this today. And so that's how I could remember how to pronounce it. But this word come here, from the Greek word duty, it means specifically to follow the leadership and guidance of the one calling. To follow the leadership and guidance of someone else. It would be like if I said, this summer, I want you to come along with me on a bike ride. Come along, we'll follow, you can follow me. Or, you know, maybe more tangible, something that's real, is, you know, you say, come, let's walk together. Let's have this conversation together. Come on, come along on this journey. Jesus is calling us to come to him continually. And we're about to wrap up here, and so I'm going to invite the band to come on up. And they'll prepare, and we're going to have a time of singing, of worshiping some more. We'll do something a little bit unique as well. I'm going to invite the prayer team to be available during this last song that we sing. They'll be up here as in front as well. I'll be up here as well if you'd like to pray. And I want to ask you, even in this moment, sometimes when we talk about prayer, it seems like this long time together. If you specifically just want a short prayer just for you to experience revival, just tell Scott, looks like he's up here. Tell myself. Dave, I think, is coming. He's in the back there. I see him back there. He'll come eventually. But he'll hear the music, and he'll be like, oh, I got to come. But we'll have our prayer team down here. Just tell them, just pray for me for revival. And they would love to pray just a sentence or two prayer for you. Just during, as we're singing, feel free to do that. Perhaps God's laid on your heart something even deeper, a sickness, something in you that needs to be healed, something that a person that needs to come to Christ that you know, and you want to share that name with a friend. They would love to pray with you on that as well. But in this time, don't also leave without knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus. He's called us to come to respond to his message of the gospel. If you're here today and you're just kind of checking this thing out, I would ask that you would consider to make today the day of salvation. To say, yes, Jesus, I want to come into that relationship with you. Today, are you thirsty or hungry for a deeper relationship with Jesus? Are you at the end of your bike ride, tired and dizzy and worn out? Are you carrying burdens too hard for yourself? He calls us to find rest in him, to find hope and peace in him. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we pray that this time is a time for you. God, I pray for your spirit to begin to nudge each one of us, to say, yes, I need to come to you, Jesus. God, help today be a start moment when I say, yes, revive me. Give me peace. Give me that hope. I can't carry these burdens on my own. I need to come to you as you call us to do. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not have a relationship with you, where they know that they are your son or your daughter, I pray that they take the bold steps today to say yes to you. Father, I pray that we respond to you when you call us to come. Amen.